Just say this with me, with the Friday night crowd being present and everyone else. I say, the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee is in revival. This region is in revival. We join with other prayer groups that are calling back the King. We say, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, thousands and thousands are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost in a great revival. While all the world is growing evil, while gross darkness is coming upon the face of the earth, according to Isaiah, light is springing forth. We call this a place of light. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Would you pray over these?
Aren't you happy about the blood of Jesus this morning? I mean,
go ahead and gather these.
I mean, I just been feeling as though kind of just humdrum and just kind of, you know, not really, you know, pressing in, you know, and I just know it's just the flesh and it's just the enemy trying to come against our emotions and our being, you know. But just know the blood covered everything, you know, and I just know that this morning for myself. I mean, it's already done. So the more we press in the days ahead, you know, the circumstances and the situations always try to tell us, oh, it's not going to change, it's really not making any difference, or we just kind of forget about that and just don't really press in. I mean, I just feel that pressure is from the enemy a lot of times, and even from my own flesh. But the blood really did, like that song, the blood covered it all. I mean, the blood finished the work. So I am so thankful for that this morning, and it makes me encouraged this morning, and it gives me hope once again to really press into the things. Like Pastor was saying, I mean, there's a lot of darkness coming upon the earth right now in these last days. But the greatest thing that we have is we are already born again. And I was talking to Maria this morning, and you know what? When I see the loss of my family up north, and when I can see what's really going on up there in a clearer vision of how they need the Lord, that makes me real, real thankful that I am born again. And it gets me out of my comfort zone of really trying to press in and really wanting to get them saved and born again. Because I'll tell you something, the Word says that our prayers will not go void. They will not go unanswered. And I tell you what, when we speak and we pray and we start saying the Word of God, that's where all authority lays, right then and there. And we know that. So speak the Word of God. Speak with authority, folks, yes, because we have the authority. So, Father, I thank you so much for this all, Lord. And just to remind me this morning of it once again, and I'm thankful of it, and it makes me want to press in more. So, Father, I ask you to bless this offering, bless our time together, bless this family, and bless all those that aren't here today, Lord God, that they're still part, and all over the world where they're really pressing in and praying in the Holy Ghost and spending that time with you. And the blind eyes will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the dumb will be will speak, and all the things that we prophesy over and over and over shall, I mean, they can't not come to pass. So, Father, we know it's true. No matter what we think about it, we know it's true. The Word is true. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the very person of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we thank you for that blood that never loses its power. We thank you for the grace of God. Hallelujah, Jesus, that is in this house. Father, take us. Only you, by your Spirit, can take us to the next place. Only you can take us to the next place that we need to go. Not just corporately, but individually, Lord. Take us to that place. Lead us and guide us into all truth. Your Word is truth. We pray that, Lord, as we meditate your Word this morning, that we'll begin to see the picture of the life of Christ, the power that he lived in, and the power that we're to live in. Father, we give all things to you. We thank you for your Spirit. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we love you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Last week we were looking at Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look a little bit in Matthew chapter 14 for just a few moments. We were examining the greatest weaponry that you have against Satan's onslaught last week, and that is the Word of God. And in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was vehemently attacked. Now, we think that we go through things sometimes on this planet, and we do. And sometimes we will say that Satan showed up at my house this past week. And that's true, but it's not true. Because I hate to burst your bubble. But I'll just put myself in there. He may not know where you live. Who's that? The devil himself, Lucifer. Now, he's got devils that do, assigned. But you have to really start doing something to draw the attention of the hierarchy in evil places. And as long as, and this is no condemnation to anybody, as long as the little tiny flesh devils rule your life, as long as it's easy to get angry with your brother or sister, you know, they're sitting in my chair this morning. I've been sitting there for a long time. They didn't hug me during that hug-a-thon we had. I know there's something wrong. And they didn't even invite me to the fish fry or to the barbecue. And they might have just forgot. They probably did. We got in an argument last week over something important. Really? What was that? Over football. Oh, God. If the football devil gets you offended, revival is a ways away. And the devil really, the devil, the one we call Satan, he's probably a good ways away too. But devils do show up. And there's a lot of them. And Donner put it real well when she was here. How many would like to see Donner again real soon? I'm going to invite her down. And she loves to run devils off. And she said she did not believe that there was a devil behind every bush. Amen. She believes there's hundreds behind every bush. She's been on both sides, and she was a witch, and she served Satan, and she gave herself to him for a number of years, and then Jesus came into her life, and she can testify that she knows that she's on the side with all the power now. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about in Matthew chapter 4 that when the devil, Satan, came to Jesus, he used the very thing that we're supposed to use, and that's the Word of God. As long as you're trying to wish depression away, it won't go away. It may go away to some degree. You can put happy stickers on your refrigerator and wishful thoughts or happy things to think about are as good. But until you realize that it's a devil, and realize that devils don't go by wishful thinking, they only go by the Word of God. Now, I'm not making fun, because I see people on TV that have advertisements, and I realize those people sometimes, not those people, but people they're representing, are in a real life crisis. And they're advertising medicine that will help bipolar depression and this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, I'm not against anybody getting help, but I know what that is. Dave says bipolar is just two devils, or devils just, you know, having a time in a people's life. Until you begin to understand that it's by the Word of God, you're going to be chasing things. And Jesus stood up against a vehement onslaught of the enemy, and he used the Word of God. But in Matthew chapter 14, he also uses a very strong and powerful weapon. And it's one that if we don't look deep enough, we don't catch it a lot of times. Yes, the first thing that you should do when you feel yourself under an attack, whatever it is, you feel your home under attack, your finances, your body, is to go to the Word of God. But there's another part of our weaponry. There's another part that's there. It's sometimes it's very subtle, but it's a part that is, it's case-hardened strong. It's strong. It's supposed to be the very character of our life. And we read about it in Matthew chapter 14 because our prototype, which is Jesus, ministered in the same, or set the example before us. It says in verse 1, it says, "At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him into prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. For when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias," that's the woman he's with, "the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and it pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask." Now, I don't have to go into the depth of this, but I'll just tell you, when you read this and you understand that a man's life is at stake here, and he's asking this young lady to dance at this party that he's having, and it eventually costs a man's life. This is, he's wanting far more than a dance. I'll just say that. Far more than a dance. And the perverted part was this, that her mother consented to that. That's the perversion. It was all perverted. But how perverted it gets is that one of the most righteous men upon the planet is about to give his life as a result of the evil that is taking place at that particular party. And verse 8 says, "And she being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in prison. And his head was brought in a charger," that's a platter, "and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus." Now watch this. "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart." To understand the background on this, you'd have to go back to a place where these two men, one is God in the flesh, are born 6 months apart. And their mothers are cousins. And I'm sure they must have grown up somewhat in the vicinity of knowing each other. But at some point, John gets his call. At some point, now John's just a man like you and me, John the Baptist. But at some point, he gets his call from God. And he says, when he's about to baptize Jesus later, on in life when Jesus is about 30 years old, he said, the same one that called me, being God, told me, the one that you see coming to you, upon whom the Spirit of the Lord will light like a dove, that's the one that I've called. That's the Messiah. And when that day happened, John prophesied. He began to prophesy. And he began to say unto some of his disciples that were standing. In fact, if you read the gospel, some of John's disciples were later on became Jesus' disciples. They actually jumped ship. They changed churches. Well, I'd change churches too. But he said, behold, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Can you imagine the closeness, not just as cousins and not just as in 6 months apart and not just in growing up together, but can you imagine that you've got one person on the planet? A lot of times we go through difficulties and we're so strained by those difficulties, we're trying to convey, you know, what we're going through to somebody else. And it feels like sometimes that, you know, you're alone in your situation. And sometimes you'll make statements like, I just feel so alone, or I don't know that anybody knows what I'm going through. But everybody does, in a certain sense. Whatever you're walking through today, no matter how far out it feels or no matter how alone you feel, the Bible says that there is no temptation that has taken you or come upon your life but such as is common to man. But with every temptation, the Lord will make a way of escape. No matter how alone you feel in what you're going through, someone, in fact, millions, the word says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Somebody's walked through what you're walking through. They felt the same pain that you're going through. They felt the same hurt. But for one person on the planet that could ever make a true statement that nobody knows who I am or nobody knows what I'm going through, the only person that could have ever done that was Jesus. Because even till the end, I mean to the very end, even to where he goes to the cross, the 12 men that were serving him and even the one that went astray, none of them, obviously the one that went astray, none of them knew who he was. They did not understand that what he was wanting to do was set up not a political kingdom. That's why at the very end they were saying, are you going to restore the kingdom now? Is Israel going to become a world power once again? Can I sit on your right hand? Can I sit on? And he knew until they got born again and filled with the Spirit, they were not going to be able to conceive in their minds the truth that this is a spiritual thing. He kept telling them, the kingdom of God is not with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. It's something within you. It's the new nature. It's the born-again experience. He loved these men. He taught these men. But he knew that they just didn't get it. He knew that they didn't understand it. One man, though he was not yet born again, by prophecy and by the Holy Spirit, began to... He knew who Jesus was. He said, behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Later, Peter and some of the other began to catch. When Peter said, thou art the Christ, he began to catch. But one man at this point in time, only one man, and that's John the Baptist, on the planet knew who he was. Now, can you imagine if you had just one person on the planet who knew what you were going through and could identify how close you would feel with that person? How much intimacy you would have by being able to convey your heart and your feelings to that person. And here the Bible says that in a hideous, drunken, horrible party that goes on, that there was something agreed upon. And as a result of it, that this man that had preached righteousness, John the Baptist, and had said to this woman and this king, Herod, and Herodias, it's not lawful for you guys to be together. You're sleeping with your brother's wife. It's wrong. And as a result of it, he wanted to quiet him. He wanted to shut him up. He put him in prison. And then later, as we just read, he was beheaded. Now, the word says that his disciples, John's disciples, came and took up the body and buried him. And then they go and they share this information with Jesus. Now, put yourself in that place. What would you do, even with wherever you're at right now, if one of your family members or somebody you love so much was taken in such a hideous way, I think it would be hard for any of us not to respond with a lot of anger, hurt, emptiness, all kinds of anger. You know, Jesus at this point in time, his level of popularity was strong. His level of him healing the sick and the crowds coming out and following him. In fact, in this chapter, we begin to see what happened as a result of it. Jesus could have made one statement. Jesus could have made any kind of statement towards what had just went on and turned the whole thing into a huge insurrection. He could have turned the whole thing where all of Israel and everybody that was following him was ready to storm that castle, ready to storm Herod and just take him off the throne. You know, as Christians, our words have power. And when something comes and others are watching us, what we say and what we do has everything in the world to do with what others are going to do and what they're going to say. It looks like that Jesus is very, very passive. It looks like Jesus, you know, here he was in the wilderness. Obviously, this is something that Satan has come and done. We find him in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4. He's standing up strong and rebuking the devil. But here he doesn't say anything. They come and they tell him, and when Jesus heard of it in verse 13, it says he didn't say anything. He didn't, you know, John has been beheaded. John's been killed. Well, how's he been killed? He was beheaded. What's the story? They tell him the story, and he doesn't say a word. We don't have any information that he says anything. It says, and when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was what? Moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Here is the next. I don't know if it's the next. It's simultaneously with speaking the word. Walking in the love of God is the greatest weaponry that you'll ever have against the satanic onslaughts that'll come against your life. Instead of Jesus standing up and beginning to rail on what had happened, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. He began to heal the sick. The greatest thing that you can do against what the enemy is trying to accomplish against your family, don't stop going forward. The greatest thing that you can do against whatever the enemy is trying to do against your body, your life, your finances, no matter what it is that he's trying to speak the word, but also continue to move in compassion. Don't let your mouth begin to speak evil of those who've come against you. Don't let your mouth, because whatever's coming against you through people, they're not the problem. There's something behind them. There's something that's trying to get you out of the spirit into the flesh. This is what this devil was wanting to do. His whole life he badgered Jesus to try to get him out of the spirit into the flesh, to fight his battles through the flesh and not the spirit. If you stay in the spirit only moves in compassion. If you stay in the place where the Holy Spirit is at, you'll only move in the compassion of God. The word says here, he went forth, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came unto him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. And he sent the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy victuals themselves. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, you know the story. Jesus feeds them all. He not only heals their bodies, he not only casts out devils, but he also feeds them. Listen, when you and I don't get into strife, when we don't get into strife and we say stay focused and stay single-minded and say, look, all this is a mirage to get me out of the spirit into the flesh and start fighting this and start fighting that, then the devil has a time. Then he can begin to control our life. But when we say, look, I'm not going to get out. I'm going to continue to do what my prototype did. I'm going to continue to, yes, speak the word. But what is my platform of life? What's my foundation? It's love. By this, Jesus said, will all men know that you are my disciples? By your love, by the love that you walk in. Satan cannot penetrate your life as long as you continue to speak love. As long as everything that's coming against you through other people, you don't verbally begin to raise up and speak against them, then you will continue to have the same power that Jesus. Now, all of us are at different levels, and all of us are praying for those places of where we can lay hands continually on the sick. But I can tell you this, the only way that we're going to get there is when he throws those things at us, that we don't allow ourselves to get into the flesh and begin to fight these battles by the flesh, but we fight them through the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8, we love that. It's very familiar to us. Why don't we read it? Verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also does what? He helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or better translation, himself, speaking of the Holy Ghost, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, what's he praying? He's praying against all those things that are coming against us. He's praying against all those things that would get us to move out of the Spirit into the flesh. Because every day that you live, one way or the other, you get a chance. You get an opportunity to move out of the Spirit into the flesh. What does our prototype teach us? It's amazing. Isn't it amazing that Jesus just didn't even say anything? I mean, that's the way the picture of the Scripture is. He just didn't even, it looked like he did not address, but he did address it. He dropped an atomic bomb on Satan's work. He dropped an absolute atomic bomb in the Spirit on what Satan was trying to accomplish. As we pray in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us and begins to lay a course in front of us. My next week was prayed out probably last week. Did you get that? My next 5 years was been praying out for the last 17 years. Do you know that you will not fail? Yes, I do. Why? Because for the last several years, not I, but Christ in me, the Holy Spirit has been praying a compass in front of me. And no matter what comes my way, as long as I continue to choose my prototype's example, I cannot fail. Hallelujah. Because this has all been, do you believe in predestination? Yes, I do believe this, that the Holy Spirit has predestined me to win. Hallelujah. I believe that. And I believe if I keep praying in tongues and keep allowing the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that divine compass is taking me to a place of ultimate victory. Hallelujah. The word says here in verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? This is all things to stand in victory. This is all of our inheritance. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yes, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also, Christ himself, makes intercession for us. Isn't that a wonderful? I mean, I've got God the Holy Ghost and God the Son praying for me. What a team. You know, these guys, and I say that very respectfully as God, they can't lose. I don't feel sorry for the devil, but he's in trouble. Hallelujah. He's in trouble. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Or you could say, what shall separate us? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril? Those are not pearls, they're perils. Swords, as it is written. Do you know that he doesn't even mention sin there? That's the one thing he doesn't mention. Why? Because it's supposed to be a give me. It's supposed to be a give me that we walk without sin. That's supposed to be a give me. Now, the God's not going to pat you on the back and say, boy, I really appreciate it this week that you didn't commit adultery again. We that are born again are to live free from sin. And he doesn't mention that sin can separate. Why? Because we're supposed to, that's who we are. We're supposed to be living above sin. As it is written, for thy sake we are counted all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay or no, and all these things, hallelujah, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are we persuaded? I pray we be. Hallelujah. That neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers or things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. It's talking about spiritual warfare here. It's talking about all those things that they can levy, try to come against us with. None of these things shall be able to separate us from what? That most powerful foundation that we have, which is the love of God. Hallelujah. Because love does what? Love casts out all fear. John or Jude 20, verse 20 says this, but ye beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Folks, listen. We're going into revival. I believe that. I do believe that Satan wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy. I believe that he's going to continue to fight us. But my God, we need the Holy Ghost like we've never had before. I mean, where we're praying in the Spirit, spending that time. This morning, why don't you just stand with me for just a few moments? Hallelujah. Marty, you can go ahead and begin to. If you're here this morning, let's just worship for a moment. If you're here this morning and you don't pray in tongues, and you have not yet been filled with the Spirit, you know that you're born again, you know that you love Jesus, you say, I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not perfect either by a long shot. But I do know how to get under the blood of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you know that you've said, Jesus, come into my life, but you've not been filled where you speak in tongues, this is a good day to do that. This is a good day to do that. And if you're not fluent in your tongue, you say, well, I prayed last month, a few words, but I don't pray often. You need to be praying every day. And you need to be praying often throughout the day. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite you. I know there's a few of you here this morning. I just know that. If you've never spoken tongues and you'd like that opportunity, we're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to, we're not going to practice on you either. We know what we're doing. Hallelujah. So, Father, right now, speak to their hearts. If there are those that are here, male or female, little children, moms and dads, we invite him to this place. We invite him to your altar. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Go ahead and step out. Somebody, several of you, you're not filled or you know you want to be filled. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give them a great big hand this morning. You step over here. Hallelujah. You want to have her join you? Yep. That'd be good. Come on, Miss Barbara, Candy, Delia. Hallelujah. Glory. You can step a little bit closer. Is there anybody else? Hallelujah. I'm here glad for these that came. In just a few moments, they're going to be praying just like all the rest of us. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Because you don't want to leave, you don't want to leave here today and then, you know, a couple months from now when you get filled, you're going to be like, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And you're going to be kicking yourself because you could have had it today. Free of charge. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now the rest of you just pray under your breath. If you're out there, just pray in tongues. And you say, well, I can't pray in tongues. Well, then come down here. Oh, how many times I got to say that? So I understand that everybody out there is praying in tongues right now. Hallelujah. Now, you two ladies, if you will, give me just a couple minutes, because I believe if you'll just listen, a little bit of information goes a long ways. Because sometimes we try to make this too hard, and sometimes it kind of, everything, you know, we read this, and we heard this, and somebody says this, and a lot of it's, I mean, you know, it's all good, hopefully, but sometimes too much information can just kind of shut you down. The simplicity of it is, from the very beginning, it was supposed to be something just as simple as your salvation, just as simple. And it was not supposed to be, they waited in the book of Acts for the initial outpouring, but never, ever, ever, ever again in the book of the Word of God do you find people having to wait like Terry to get their filling, their infilling. In other words, it didn't have to go through a process. It was always instantaneously. The disciples would lay hands on people. Sometimes they wouldn't lay hands on people, just like when Peter went to Joppa and he was standing there, he was just testifying, and the Holy Spirit fell on him and they just all began to speak in tongues. But many times it was through just what we're about to do right now. We just lay hands on you. Receiving the Holy Ghost, you're not receiving something different. He came in at the moment of salvation. So what you're about to receive is not some other spirit that you're going to feel different. What you've already got in you right now is God inside of you through the new nature, through that life of the new nature. And so what you need to understand is, like, you're not going to feel different. You're just going to feel more of the same, much more of the same. So God's already in there. But when you receive your salvation, you did not see, unless I'm wrong, tell me, you did not see Jesus walk through the wall. You just believed that what somebody was telling you according to the Word of God was truth. And you said, okay, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. You had to accept that by faith. This is the same way. You have to accept this initial infilling that the Holy Spirit is going to give you. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to release the Holy Spirit. And what I want you to do is just begin to believe and receive. And as that process takes place, I'm not going to tell you the words to say, but the Holy Spirit is going to begin to create a language on the inside. As He fills you up, He also, the Bible says that we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, the gift of the Holy Ghost is not just His person, it's what He gives us at the moment of infilling, when we get filled with the Spirit. Now, you're going to have to step out on faith, because just like when somebody shared Christ with you and they said, you're going to have to move your mouth. What am I going to have to do? You're going to have to confess Christ. Okay, Christ, I confess that you're God, and you forgive me of my sins. I confess that. You had to move your mouth. Well, in the same way, you have to begin to take that step of faith. It's kind of like you have to step out on a cliff and say, okay, I don't know if this is going to... And I say this to everybody, and it only makes sense as the Holy Spirit tells you. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. You're the one who speaks in tongues. He gives you the language, but you have to be the one who says it. So you're actually the one that says it. So to do that, you can't just sit there and say, I'm going to wait till He moves my mouth. You can't do that, because He won't force you, because He's very gentle, He's very kind, and He doesn't want you to be scared, okay? The other thing, too, is Jesus said, if we ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, and this is a fruit, I'm going to tell you, this is a fruit of this verse, but it nevertheless is the truth. He says, if we ask the Father for the Holy Ghost, we will in no wise get a devil. In other words, you can't get something strange. You're not going to get something weird. You're not going to get possessed. You will get taken over by the Holy Ghost, but He is wonderful, very wonderful. So I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to pray to prayer together. And then I want you to begin, as those words are being created inside of you, just begin to move your lips. Everybody's language is different because it's like your thumbprint. The Holy Spirit gives you a thumbprint of your own language. It's your own particular language that He gives to you. So you'll have to speak it. I don't know what those words will sound like. It sounds kind of like baby talk to some, because the Word says we don't understand it with our natural mind. Do you believe that this is going to take place? Okay. Hallelujah. Let me see your hands. Just repeat these words after me to start with. Father, I thank You that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Father, You said that if I would ask, that You would give me the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I ask in Jesus' name for this Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, I receive in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll take a big, deep breath. Just begin to let it out. Receive. Now, begin to move your lips. Move your tongue. Be filled. That's Him. Be filled now. She's starting to speak. Just encourage her to continue that. Be filled. You're close. Just work with her there for a minute. Just take that initial step. It's just that initial step. Just got to be brave enough to say, okay, I'm going to throw caution to the wind. The rest of you just keep praying for just a few moments. This is a time, usually we don't pray in tongues out loud, but this is all, I mean, you know, where everybody else can hear us, but this is a time you can do that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. A little bit. Okay. Hallelujah. They're getting some breakthrough here. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're both getting those, just moving out real softly. Before long, in the next couple months, they're going to be down here just like, we're not going to be able to shut them up. Okay? Hallelujah. Father, we give You all the praise. We give You all the glory. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, both of you, listen to me. What began here today is from the Lord. Don't let the devil take it from you. Go home tonight when you're laying in your bed. Just begin to step out. And when the devil tells you, no, that's just that quick, I rebuke you, Satan. In Jesus' name, I'm jumping. Here we go. Jumping off this cliff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Will you do that? Okay. Will you do that? Okay. All right. Amen. Thank God for these who got filled. Amen. You can sit or stand, but Marcia wanted to give you a testimony of a miracle that just took place in her body last week. So hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God. I just want to give this testimony because it was Sunday, October 26th, that I got in line for prayer. But Rex and I was headed to the prayer meeting on Friday night, that Friday night before. And for months, I've really been battling some physical things in my body. And it got really bad to where Rex just pulled off the road, called Pastor, and had him pray right then and there. And I did start getting better right then, but we decided to turn around and go home and just, you know, stay at home that Friday evening. Well, then we came to church Sunday morning, and Rex came and got me and said, I want you to get in this prayer line. So I got in the prayer line, and Pastor prayed, and Rex just held me up. And as the pastor was praying over me, and I just want to give God all the glory because I've been able to work full days every day. I was able to leave that following Friday morning early on the motorcycle with Rex because Rex didn't even want me to go on that because of the physical things I had been suffering in my body. But I just want to give God all the glory that I'm healed and whole. I can breathe well. My heart's functioning. Everything's functioning well. My back's good. And I just give him all the glory and honor and praise that he heals. He is the healer, the deliverer. So I want to give the praise.
Hallelujah. How many of you had a good day?